Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Been a fun show on this Friday, getting everybody ready for the holiday weekend. If you're traveling, safe travels. If you're staying put, enjoy yourself. I don't think we're getting... Are we getting rain this weekend? I don't think so.
Oh, I hope not. I really, really hope not.
I don't think we're getting any rain.
That would be the only thing I wish for Christmas.
Locally.
No rain.
Here we go. I'm looking now. Today and tomorrow.
I'm seeing clear.
Looks sunny.
Yeah.
Sunday and Monday, a little cloudy, but no rain until Wednesday. 50% chance of rain as of right now on Wednesday. So we'll take it.
Yeah. How was that that rain the other day? I don't know. Was that different than anything you've seen? Like, it was pretty intense.
No, it dumps.
That was pretty intense.
It dumps out in the bay, too.
That's about as bad as it gets here.
Good, and I hope it doesn't do that again.
That was not fun.
Well, you know how...
I can't stand the rain.
Thanksgiving, you play football. How come on Christmas you don't play some basketball?
That's a good point. That's a really good point. You know, I guess in some parts of the world, the courts probably snowed out, but...
Oh, that's true.
So true.
Yeah.
For the most part, I mean, I guess in California...
That was a very California thing to say.
Yeah, you know, we're privileged here. It's
fine. They were playing... Yeah, they played football, but I guess it's different.
I'm down. I'm very down
for it.
Well,
I'm not down this...
Yeah, not
Uncle
you,
Jim
I guess,
doesn't have the handle!
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you'll probably, you think you get a lot of injuries at Thanksgiving football. You bust out a cold.
My Achilles hurts,
you know,
just talking about
a cold
this.
Morning in December, and who knows what kind of aches and pains you'll deal with all
no,
day.
No, thank you. That is not what I want for
not
Christmas.
Not a Merry Christmas at all.
Not at all. As we hope that the Kings bring the Kings fans, the kingdom, the Beam regime, two beams. For Christmas tonight against the Suns and tomorrow night against the T-Wolves. Want to have some fun here with Karl Anthony Towns, because I don't know if you haven't heard about this. Basically, Karl Anthony Towns has become a bit infamous for changing his voice. So we have just two clips here to show you or to illustrate to you how he does this, and it's pretty ridiculous.
This is what movies is made of.
This is what movies
is made of. This is what movies is made of. 4 months away, I come back, 2 free throws. Don't worry about it. I got that.
It's crazy because after all that, they took him off the court to put him even closer to the locker room. So I was like, all right.
That's the same person.
Yes, that is the same human.
That's the same person.
It really doesn't sound like it, but that's the
same. Simone, play the second one again, please.
I have to separate them.
All right, all right. Well, we'll get to it, because I think it's pretty hilarious how he changes his voice. Have you ever changed your voice?
Not, like, since I was a kid, probably. Like, I don't know if you ever had, like, when you called your parents, was there, like, a...
After all that, they took him off the court to put him even closer to the locker room. So I was like, all right.
So can the real Karl Anthony Towns voice please stand up?
Yeah, that's not great. That's you know, it's clearly something he's insecure about for sure, because you don't like that's really bad. And like, you know, yeah, there's more clips than even just what we've played.
Right,
and like,
they're all over.
It's not just like he's got his whatever his normal voice, if you will, and then this deeper voice. There's it ranges all between.
Sometimes it's a bit Caribbean.
You guys don't think he was being facetious or like. Joking there?
No.
That okay.
No, no I don't. No. No. I actually
this is what movies are made of.
No. I think maybe he was like trying to like throw a little bit of like, you know, like hey.
The second one
it's
sounded like a little
there.
Valley girl, so I thought he was doing
after all that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So that is
no,
it?
I guess
no.
But
that's like how he normally
somebody said
down.
That he didn't know that stream was being recorded.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was just talking to a buddy or something like that.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
No, and if you hear like just Karl Anthony Towns on a podcast, he'll sound like that second clip. And
more so. Not,
more so. More yes, so yes. Like that second clip. And, you know, and then other times, yeah, he'll drop it. He'll drop it low
drop
for
it low.
You.
Post-game press conference, Karl Anthony Towns.
You know what it is.
And this is what the YouTube, our Sack Chatters are talking about right now. Do you think that that's like some sort of like almost code switching kind of because you're like, that's your work. So you got to have this deeper voice.
I think it's insecurity. I really think it's insecurity.
I mean,
he's definitely very insecure about how his voice sounds.
I mean,
he's a big dude. He's 7 feet tall, 260. Like he's trying to not sound like a mouse.
I think I would go in Chris's direction more, because code switching is not using slang which, is, you know, I understand where that's coming from. Not using slang, not how you would talk to your buddies versus you talk to your boss.
Yeah.
These are two, but how your voice sounds shouldn't change.
Yeah. Yeah.
You but like I said, maybe remain some the same. People,
your
maybe
tone can change, your but tone. The actual pitch of your voice shouldn't change.
This is what movies are made of.
Hey, yo. Hey, it's Carl Anthony Towns here.
Simone, let's hear them both one more
time.
If we
can hear the second one first, that would be better. Because the second one is really bad.
It's definitely going to be his on court one first.
Yes.
And this one. Sorry, I would have separated
Simone.
It if I knew.
Come on, Simone.
This is what movies is made of.
This is what movies
is made of. This is what movies is made of. Four months away, I come back, two free throws. Don't worry about it. I got that.
It's crazy because after all that, they took him off the court to put him even closer to the locker room. So I was like, all right.
Where is
be.
This man
it
from?
It can't be.
I know he.
It's crazy because.
Where is he from? Because the that like because that because that accent, you're right. In the second one, it is almost like a valley girl.
Yeah, there's like, you know, I took communication. That, so, yeah, it's the vocal fry. You, after all of that, yeah. When you extend it and you elongate it. Yeah.
You nailed that.
Yeah.
You
after that, all of that.
You would need two people to do this, to do Carl Anthony Towns' voices. He should do voice acting.
So he's from New Jersey, born and raised in New Jersey.
All
he
that.
Does
Mitch.
Have like a...
Mitch's homeland.
Yeah, shout out Mitch.
He does have like a Dominican background. He played for the DR in the FIBA Cup this summer, but... That doesn't sound like either of those two accents to me. So, I don't know. Carl Anthony Towns, the anomaly, I guess.
Put it on the poll, Simone.
Yeah.
Do you change the tone of, not tone, but.
The inflection. I mean, inflection? It's not inflection either. The pitch, yeah.
Of your voice.
Cadence.
For other people, right? How about this? If you're a parent. Do you make your voice a little bit deeper when you're yelling at your kids?
If I'm talking to, like, my cat or something.
Right. Hey, don't do that. Hey. I remember.
Okay, in that sense, yeah, sure.
Actually, I got to be honest here.
Uh-oh.
Because I did. It's my voice, right? But this is what happened. So we're in the condo. We're in the condo, Alameda. And... Somebody, and this is from the 916. Who are you talking about? We're talking about Carl Anthony Towns. We'll play this down for you again. So we're in the condo, Alameda, and I just hear something knocking against the building. It's knocking against the building. What is this, right? So I look out the window, and it's a kid who just decided that I'm going to just throw a tennis ball against the building. And, you know, practicing baseball, I'd love that, but just don't do that here. So you hear my voice now, and I walk over, and I go, hey, don't do that here. Don't do that here. Hey, don't do that here. Hey, man, you got to do that somewhere else. So I didn't go full cat.
Right.
But I added a little something.
A little something. A little adult to your voice.
I added a little seasoned salt to it. Hey, don't do that here. Hey,
little man. Hey, little man, you can take that somewhere else, bro.
And the best part is I turn around, and my wife is looking at me. Like, who? Excuse me?
It's one of those where you're all proud.
Yeah,
you're like,
hey, man,
my moment.
Hey, don't do that.
Yeah.
Hey, little man. Hey, don't do that, man.
Hey.
You've never, not once?
I have not. Maybe like one time I thought there was an intruder in the house and like I was like, hey, bear. You know, like, you know, that's what they tell you to do if you run into a grizzly bear or something. But
that's right.
Besides that, no, I haven't really had to... Find a reason to do so. I just don't really like. I'm not saying you were showing some insecurity there, but to me, if you're changing your voice, that clearly means that you feel like your voice just isn't intimidating enough. I guess.
Yeah. Because I'm also thinking, you know, if I just said, hey, don't do that, man.
Hey, little man.
Hey, man. Hey, well, come on.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. Hey, could you? If I just did it normal, hey man, don't do that.
You want the point to get across.
If you are a kid and you hear this, what would make you say, "Hey, let me never"? I wanted him to never think about doing it.
It's
again.
It's like a dog bark. It's like, are you more afraid of the Rottweiler bark on the other side of the fence
or the
Boston
Terrier?
Dogs have it coming up at 1:30.
Come on.
Okay, so you are the kid. You're throwing it. You're getting your work in, throwing the tennis ball, and you hear this. I'm gonna do that. My first one.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Hey, don't do that. Oh, come on now. Why are you playing me like that?
Extra sauce on it, you know. And then we're going to have a different sound. For
hey, man. Come on now. Hey, man. Hey, don't do that. Hey, you can't do that here. Okay, that's number one. Number two, throwing against the wall. Come on. Hey, man. Hey, don't do that. Hey, man. Hey, don't do that here. You got to do that. You got to do that somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm leaving. Okay. I'm sorry.
See?
Won't happen again.
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
Crazy because after all that, they took him off the court to put him even closer to the locker room. So I was like, all right.
It's so Valley Girl. It's really crazy.
Maybe
how
he's dating a Valley Girl.
No, definitely.
Simone, yeah. I know we're really annoying you. Let's hear the first one more time. We'll get to break.
This is what movies is made of. 4 months away, I come back, 2 free throws. Don't worry about it. I got that.
It's crazy because after all that, they took him off the court to put him even closer to the locker room. So I was like, all right.
Those are two different people.
Those are two humans.
Those are two. You can't
two
convince me those aren't two different people. All right, got to get
don't
to
worry
a
about
hey,
it.
Hey, let's give it up for Simone because
hey, man, don't worry
Simone
about
had to do,
yeah.
She's cutting up a yeah. lot of stuff back there, like a producer really should do. Producer of the year. Shout out to Simone. Got to get to a break. When we get back, Mike Vick and RG3 had some things to say about Brock Purdy. And Niners Ravens, will it actually be a good game? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Crazy because after all that, they took him off the court to put him even closer to the locker room. So I was like, all right.
Styles and Watkins. Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. The Bad Boys of the Midday.
Don't worry about it. The Bad Boys of the Midday. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. After all
crazy
that.
Oh, my gosh.
Having some fun with Carl Anthony Towns. He's probably going to drop 40
I hope
tomorrow.
They don't play this
he's
in the
probably
arena.
Gonna,
yeah.
He's probably going to drop 40 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Please don't, Carl Anthony Towns, even though he does want to be known as the best shooting big man of all time, which seems a little bit much, but you got to shoot for the moon and land amongst the stars. Somebody else who's trying to do the same thing is Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. And as we begin our Niners talk, will the Niners-Ravens actually be a good game? Here's RG3 and Michael Vick saying Brock Purdy is more than a game manager.
Do you think Brock Purdy is a game manager?
No. I've seen Brock Purdy maneuver the pocket and make some plays on the run, pull it down, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, and make a play. That's not managing. That's changing. A lot of things he do is on time. Setting up in the pocket. Coming off play action, 1, 2, 3, you know, ball coming out.
I agree with you. I don't think that Brock Purdy is a game manager. I think he is a game changer. And the difference between, say, the 2019 49ers, who were doing similar things to what this 49ers team is doing this year, it is Brock Purdy. Because Jimmy was a game manager. He was going to get it to where it's supposed to be. But if it wasn't there, like, it is what it is. Like, play's over.
I mean,
it is what it is.
I mean, Jimmy catching strays. But look, he's rich, it's fine, and it's true. And Jimmy, by the way, if you didn't hear the news, according to Bill Barnwell, Jimmy will be looking for a new job at the end of the season, but he will be well paid.
Yeah.
So Jimmy Garoppolo, for all intents and purposes, won't be Vegas Raider at the end of the season. But this is about Brock Purdy and Michael Vick, who is one of the ultimate game changers, still going back to. And you know what? Kudos to Cam Newton for starting. I've heard game manager, but game changer.
No.
I've never heard that. And now I think it's here to stay. So as much as people are trying to come at Cam Newton about his career and things like that, Cam Newton, from his hats to everything about how he gets down nowadays, I believe that is a great way. And I don't know if he specifically created it, but I had never heard that term before. And I think it's a great way to put guys in different categories, although there's a million ways to do so. So
be ready for Mel Kiper to drop that one
Cam, Cam is about the coin. He might find a way to make sure that you have to mention Cam Newton every time you call someone a game changer. Yeah. Or you might make a brand out of it or something
or
like
he'll
that.
Or some weird font or something.
So you have two. I had to unfollow him because I couldn't deal with the font anymore.
Bad.
So you have two game changers in RG3 and Mike Vick talking about Brock Purdy of the highest
order. Pretty good sourcing, right?
Right. And they're both saying that he is a game changer. And I would agree. If you watch, right, and whatever the level is, and I'm not coming down your road, but I think that Kirk Cousins is a high-level game manager.
Sure.
Okay, I would say he does what he needs to do, right, but he's not going to create if something isn't there.
Absolutely.
That's what people were trying to call Brock.
Yeah.
But I think Brock is more than that. I'm not necessarily comparing Kirk Cousins and Brock Purdy, but I'm saying if you watch both of them play, they do not play the same way.
Yeah,
right?
And I would definitely say that there's a level of conservatism that Brock just doesn't have. And normally that'd probably be a negative, but with him, it leads to the explosive offense that's the Niners. Like, if he wanted to, I'm sure he could check down a lot more than what he does. And I know people already accuse him of checking down a ton.
Yeah.
I think that he's somebody who is – he's a big play guy, but it's just measured. I think that's the biggest thing for me is that he's you know, we've talked about his lack of mistakes, and really that's the thing that sets him apart. The fact that he's just really good at risk management to me is just undersold. Like the fact that he doesn't turn the ball over, but is still able to not be afraid to make those big plays. It's not like he's only getting one or two big plays a game, and those are just happening every week. We're seeing six or seven big plays a game. And now, granted, not all of those are from the past game, but he's just very unafraid while still at the same time being measured in the throws he makes and calculating risk. It's really special. And that's where, I wouldn't say he's a game manager. I would say he's more of a game changer than a game manager because of that willingness to throw the ball deep and put himself in harm's way.
Let's take this back a step. Has your thought process or how you view Brock Purdy, has that changed from the beginning of the season to now?
Definitely. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. I would just, if anything, I would say it confirmed what had been planted already. Mm-hmm. Like, I think everybody there were some people who were already after last year ready to put the crown on Brock, and good for you. You can do your victory lap you want, sure. But I wasn't ready. I mean, I wasn't discounting anything I saw, but it was just, I can't buy into this right now. You can't have me just, if you're asking me here today after six games at the start of the season to give a yes or no, I'm going to say lean towards no, because there's just so much that we haven't seen yet from him. But after getting a full season of work on top of what we saw last year, I mean, yeah, I'm at a point where I can't say anything negative. Like there's no reason to try and downplay what Brock's done unless you are just actively looking for things to tear him down. There's an overwhelming amount of positive and maybe a slight bit of negative, but you know, I don't think that it would be worth the time to try and, you know, express those negatives because of how good it's been and how much worse it could have been.
Yeah. Now, I do think that when people say the MVP conversation, well, who's more important, Christian McCaffrey or Brock Purdy? Well, look at the game last year in Philadelphia or earlier, you know, last season in Philadelphia. They had Christian McCaffrey.
Right.
They didn't have Brock Purdy. Look what happened. I think that is a false narrative because Josh Johnson is not even in the league. Josh Johnson was in reality a four stringer that you brought on because you lost the first two QBs. So Josh Johnson in this season, I'm not mistaken, in this season of all backups, Josh Johnson got no call.
I don't believe so.
So to me, I don't think you need to go that route to say that, you know, I don't think that's the right approach to say that Christian McCaffrey or Brock Purdy is more important than Christian McCaffrey. I don't know what to do with the whole, well, if you put Brock on this team or that team, I don't know what to do with that. All I know is that Brock Purdy does give me a feeling that I get surprised when there's an incomplete pass and he makes it look very easy, almost too easy, which I think might work against him. And it feels like the Niners, maybe this is more Shanahan, who knows? It's both of them. It feels like the Niners are playing with an extra guy on offense. And I'm going to be honest with you, Chris, the last time I felt like that, well, the two last times, was honestly Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. Mm. When it's just annoying and you feel like this guy is dead to rights, and all of a sudden, oh, there's an open guy, or you're not able to bring him down. Tom Brady was not the the fastest guy or most elusive. I guess you could say elusive, but he wasn't the fastest or most athletic guy, but he just wouldn't go down.
Right.
Right? He would find a way to slither
pocket
his way out of things.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
And those are things that you can't teach. A lot of people say the same thing about rebounding. Some people, Kevin Love just had a knack for rebounding.
Yeah.
Kevon Looney just has a knack for rebounding. They get on Kuminga, they get on James Wiseman. Do you have it or do you not? I think pocket presence is similar to that. Brock Purdy has it. When he gets sacked, I get surprised. When he throws an incomplete pass, I get surprised. And whenever, I think it's a combination, right? I think it's a full-on machine, and I've come around. I'm not saying that he's the next Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady,
right.
But that feeling of when I watch other, if you watch other quarterbacks, and then you watch Brock, I mean, even from the first game, people are starting to put away, and I heard Carmichael Dave talking about this a couple days ago. People are starting to downplay that start of the season. There are a lot of people picking that Steelers team in that first game of the season in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Terrible towels. You know what I mean? Kenny Two Gloves. Mm-hmm. This is going to be because he was balling in the preseason.
He sure was.
And he went out and they stunk up the joint and he's throwing behind receivers. I remember a specific slant. Right, where Kenny could have hit this guy, and I think they would have been very close, Pickens, very close to a touchdown, and he just missed him.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? Brock just doesn't do that.
Right. No, and that's what Mike Vick even says. He's like, I watch Brock, and another thing that not a lot of people talk about is his timing. Just the 1-2-3, the second your back foot hits, that ball's out. And and that's a thing that, I mean, Trey struggled mightily with. That's really the biggest
thing.
I
used to call it the hitchy-hitchy woo-woo. That's what I used to call his hitch, the hitch in his throat.
Is that like the KD step-back crossover Jimbo or whatever?
Yeah. The Trey and the hitchy-hitchy woo-woo. And it just, you could just tell that Brock Purdy just trusts.
Yeah.
He trusts
the comfort,
man.
Too. Yeah. It's a level of comfort because, I mean, you know, you could also argue, like, what does Brock look like? Forget the talent around him. What does Brock look like with a worse offensive line? That's also another question, because I would say part of the good throws and the calculated risk taking is the fact that he's comfortable. He doesn't feel like he's got to scramble around and, oh my gosh, I'm scrambling for my life. The first person I see, I just need to get rid of the ball and let it go and just hope it goes well. He's just in a perfect situation, which I understand why people would downplay what he's done because the situation's so perfect, but man, I've seen so many people ruin perfect situations. I mean, not necessarily just in football, but everywhere that, you know, I feel like it shouldn't. Yes, you should maybe, you know, take a little bit of a bump for being in such a great situation. Mm-hmm. But man, just because you are in a perfect situation does not mean that you have to thrive in that perfect situation. And it's really hard to imagine people playing better than what Brock is unless you bring something special like a couple guys in the league can.
Now, I saw this floating around because you mentioned the offensive line. We got to get to a break. But these are PFF grades. This was back in September, and it's the same offensive line now. The offensive line was ranked 15th. So they're not it's not top five. No, and I'll tell you who is very protected, and not to come down the road of Mr. Draper here, Jalen Hurts.
Oh yeah, that's
that
the best
offensive line.
is
one of the best in
when healthy, especially,
and that's why he's sitting back there hanging out, and you still can't find anybody. Yeah. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, we have our dog segment sponsored by Could Be You.
Ooh,
give us
double
a call.
Dog.
Double Dog, 916-339-1140. If you want to be a part of the holiday dog conversation. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
You know Dasher and Dancer, Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall, what's that? The most famous reindeer of all. Come on!
Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. It's Styles and Watkins on Sacktown Sports.
Playing any reindeer games.
That's right. DMX for the dog segment. Nicely done, Simone. You are on your A game today. I will tell you that much. Styles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. I mean, that's just been, it's just a classic. The DMX, the Rudolph, it's just outstanding.
Did he actually record this, or is this just the Breakfast Club sound put on a beat?
What did you just say?
Good question.
So the meme of this is initially, like, the initial audio that I had always seen was DMX on the Breakfast Club, the radio program, and he does this just like a cappella. I think he's like banging on the table.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But did he actually record a version
like,
of this?
Like, and master a cut of this?
Yeah. Like, what are you playing right now? Because
this
there's
was
music
taken from
it.
YouTube, but it was animated, so it definitely wasn't like him in the music video.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if he just
actually
laid down
the track.
It sounds
like he re-recorded it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a scary time. That could have been AI just doing it and cleaning it up.
No, no, no.
R.I.P.
What?
No, I don't want to hear that. I do not want to hear that at all. But I do want to hear some more barks for our dog segment as we get ready to do double dogs.
Ooh, double dip.
Double dogs on a Friday. Who you think will ball out for your Sacramento Kings dog, D-O-G, dog of the game. The T is silent in the, by the way. Let's go with, I'm not going to do it.
Why don't you start? You never start.
I start sometimes.
He's afraid to go Kevin Herter.
No, I'm not doing Kevin. And the first game that I will be there as a non-media member, a fan, I want to see a beam. I want the whole experience. Thank you for all the suggestions of where I should go before, where we should go before. I want Malik Monk because that is when the arena to me is the most hype. So my dog tonight, well, we got to see if he's playing or not.
He is. According to Mark Haynes of the Sac Observer, he is playing tonight.
My dog is Malik Monk.
That's a good one. Monk dog. I know you also love the Monk chant as well.
The Monk chant, the Espiritu Santo prayer every time he scores.
I can see Alan just standing up in the middle, turning around to the rest of the crowd and trying to lead.
Espiritu Santo.
Yes, absolutely. Well, now I'm going to be rooting for that first and foremost. So I got to pick a secondary thing to root for. Let's see. We're playing the Phoenix Suns tonight. You know what? Let's do, I feel like I did this last game, but I'm going to pick Keegan. I feel like they're probably going to throw Keegan. I'm sorry. Wait, I need Keegan.
Murray.
No, I'm with you on that because, again, I want her to experience everything.
Oh,
so
there you go. Yes.
I need the Keegan Murrays as well.
Yes, we need the Keegan Murray. Right, because that's like.
That's a big, that's the
really
best one.
How you
that's
feel
probably
like.
The best one.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's get some Keegan Murray chants in there. And then, he's probably going to have to guard Devin Booker on a possession or two, if I had to guess.
Something's
so,
off with Devin this season.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see if Keegan can get into those guys' head.
So what is it? Harrison Barnes on Kevin Durant? Or
no, it's probably going to be Keegan, actually.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no way. There's no way.
Very
put
enticing.
The clamps on him.
Yeah.
Put the clamps on him, Keegan. Keegan clamps.
Yeah. Yep.
The Keegan clamps. How about that one?
Passing of the torch moment right there.
How many different variants is Keegan going to be? He's the next Clay.
He's the next KD.
He's the next Kawhi.
Yeah, no, he's actually
the next KD.
Totally.
Simone, who's your dog?
I'm going revenge game, De'Aaron Fox. Really upset with his performance from the other night on his birthday, and I think it's going to be a big revenge game for him.
What a weird game for De'Aaron because he started out hotter than fish grease. Shout out Mark Jones.
Yep.
Hotter than fish grease. And then things just went left. So I think that's a great point, Simone, to go with Fox. We see Chris Verlade back there. Chris, you want to get a dog in? All right.
No.
Sounds like
a no. He doesn't.
Fair enough.
He's not interested in adopting any animals.
I had to ask. It would be rude not
to
ask.
He actually did have one. Juan Toscano Anderson.
There you go. Shout out to JTA. Let's see on the Sack Chat and on the text line as well. Text line has give me some bonus. That's from the 916. 209 says got to be De'Aaron. Very similar to Simone. Wants that revenge back from last game. Mm. Let's see. You have from King Me, Sun's Dog, Monk. Wolves dog, which we haven't done yet, Keegan Murray. So there you go. A lot of De'Aaron calls here on the text line.
Chimezie Metu, revenge game tonight. Look out.
You know, be careful. Be careful.
It's happened.
I'm good.
Be careful.
I'm not concerned.
Don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
I'm very unconcerned.
All right, let's go through, Simone, since you went last. Now go first for the Wolves dog.
Double dogs for
me.
Who's
going to be the
I'm taking De'Aaron again.
You're taking De'Aaron again.
Love it.
Okay.
That's just intensity going into the weekend.
I love it.
I mean, if they are going to finally win on a back-to-back,
yeah,
it's going to have to come from De'Aaron. And in all seriousness, we had a conversation earlier this week when they got their doors blown off about who is going to be that leader. I do believe in De'Aaron, and I think that it could be him. But he is a, hey, watch what I do and follow my lead, and it's going to start. So good call on you, Simone.
I'm going to go risky here, and I'm going to pick my Wolves dog as Domantas Sabonis because that guy is going to have to deal with just massive bodies when it comes to the Timberwolves, and he's going to have to play well. If the Kings are going to win, there's no way Sabonis can just lay an egg and have the T-Wolves bigs just be dominant on that night. I mean, if you can say after Saturday that Naz Reid, Karl Anthony Towns, and Gobert had more impact than Sabonis, and yet the Kings won. I can't see that world happening. So I'm going to say Sabonis is going to at least have to have a normal Sabonis night for the Kings to stand a chance against the T-Wolves. So I'll say better than average. I'll put an actual mark on it. I'll say 20 points plus and above. We'll say a 2015 performance out of Sabonis on Saturday.
Okay. I mean, yeah, it's just going to be a rotation of
just
a lot
seven-footers, quality centers.
A lot of different guys who are going to give Sabonis different looks. So he's going to be battling. And JaVale questionable tonight. Right. I don't know. I believe it was a wrist. We'll see what happens for tomorrow night. So it's going to be tough for Sabonis to kind of hang tough with those guys. I'm not going to do it. What I am going to do, I'm not going to do Kevin Huerter. And somebody else needs to pick Kevin Huerter, so it can't be me because I'm tempted. I'm always tempted. I am torn.
You can't quit Kevin.
I know. I really need to stop. I'm torn between...
Uh-oh.
I'm torn. No, I'm not doing Kevin. Because I really want the Kings to get this back-to-back W. But I'm torn.
Kevin's going
to
get left home alone again.
All right.
Oh.
All right. There you go, Simone. There's some more holiday cheer for you. I'm really torn between Keegan. I'm torn between Keegan Murray because I know it's a big game and facing another star. Yeah. A lot of stars in this stretch. But I'm also thinking Harrison Barnes because the last time the T-Wolves played the Kings, Keegan Murray didn't play, and I believe Harrison Barnes had nearly 20 points. And Harrison typically, if he does well against a team, he typically does well against a team. So I'm torn between both. But I want to see the continued rise of Keegan Murray, so I'm going Keegan Murray for my Timberwolves dog of the game. From the 209, Wolves dog JaVale. Hey, maybe...
Got to play, but yeah.
Maybe.
Possibility.
916 from the 916 question, is fish grease hotter than any other grease?
Great question.
Got to be up there. We'll ask Mark.
I have no idea.
We run into Mark, we'll ask him, but it's got to be up there. I know it's hot. I know it's hot. From Alex on the Sack Chat, give me a big Sasha game. Sasha.
Oh, Emmy loves that.
Yep, Alex's dog. You have BMO Skrilla saying Keegan Murray. Manny too legit, Keegan Murray. So there you go. There you go. Will they finally be able to pull it off? Here's a question, Chris, and to all the listeners out there. If the Kings lose tomorrow night, but it's a good game, and they win tonight, lose tomorrow night in a competitive good game, but the T-Wolves, Anthony Edwards just goes crazy at the end, would you still feel pretty good? Now, that makes them 1-2 in this stretch that we have been looking forward to for weeks now. Mm-hmm. But if they had, they had the blowout, then you came back, you took care of business against the Suns, tough matchup against the T-Wolves, and they ended up just close game, less than 5 points, they end up losing, though. Would you feel good about that game?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm okay with it because it kind of, as long as they're still, and I think they've have enough separation to where they're clear of it, even if they go 0-3. But as you know, we've been talking about the post-Christmas games for a while now and how much the schedule kind of lightens up. I think as long as they're, at worst, let's say they lose the next two games, they're still 16-12 going into that stretch of easier opponents. I think it's fine. I think it's fine no matter what. Of course, I'll take any win that you
don't
can get
blown out no. though.
Definitely don't get blown out, especially the second night of a back to back. I do not want to come back on Wednesday and have to have a conversation about these back to backs really actually being a thing.
I'm not doing it. I'd rather not. CK 916 back to back games versus T-Wolves. The only dogs we should be choosing are from brats, Polish sausage, or hot dogs. Yeah. CK, come on now. We got to believe.
Mike Brown could be a dog on Saturday.
Mike Brown could be a dog tomorrow night. Come on, CK916. Believe in the beam.
Yeah.
The dream. The beam.
Got to manifest it.
The team. You got to manifest it. They will finally get that back-to-back W, first time this season. All right, let's get to a break. When we get back, continue with the conversation and maybe a little bit of crosstalk. Styles and Watkins, Sackdown Sports.
Maybe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. 15 more minutes with you as we are joined by the Drive Guys. Whitey Gleason, Kyle Draper. How you doing, fellas?
Hey, Drapes has the call tonight, so it's a big night for him.
Yeah, they realized Mark Jones couldn't cut it the other night in that big loss. You know, we got blown out.
Yeah.
They said, Drapes, we need to win tonight, big fella. We need you to come get on the call. So I'm hoping I bring our guys good luck tonight, fellas.
Yeah, rotation changes. There you go. Yeah.
There you go. You
shake things up a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly. Yeah. Got to mix it up. Just want to give it a different look before we get into the game tonight and tomorrow night, guys. And we can hear getting ready for it as we speak. What are your plans for the holiday weekend?
Well, I'm a golf 18 tomorrow morning.
Ooh,
whoa. Always get out on the links.
Drapes, yeah, we got to get out there. Yeah. We got to get out there together.
Well,
we were talking all the hosts. We need to get out there. Me and Chris went before. We got to do it.
You went out there with Chris before?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Killed him.
Right. Watkins, they never invite me out. You know what I'm saying? Your boy's going to get an 18 tomorrow. Then we got the game tomorrow night. We play the Timberwolves Sunday, Christmas Eve. I'm going to smoke a big brisket all day. And then we got Christmas Day. We fly out, actually. I'm on a road trip with these guys next week. And we actually leave Christmas night.
Oh,
we got an 8 o'clock flight out of Sacramento Christmas night. So it'll be cut short a little bit, our Christmas Day plans.
Good stuff. I mean, that brisket, you might need to save some for the crosstalk. I know you're going to have some extra. Come on now. Bring it in on Wednesday. We'll take care of it. Whitey, what you got going on?
I got a lot of family stuff that I'm looking forward to. I don't want to bore you with the details, but I do have a question, especially for my buddy Chris Watkins.
Oh, no.
I'm working on my all NBA all-time Christmas team.
Okay.
And I need one more guy. I got Drew Holiday.
Okay.
I got Eric Snow.
Okay.
I got Damari Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
I got Tree Rollins.
Mm.
And then the only other one I can think of is Jamal Tinsley. But I don't think that one really counts. So
no, that's a stretch. Well, yeah. I remember there being a guy at Syracuse. I think his name was Rakeem Christmas, actually. I mean, that's a pretty easy one, of course. I don't think that
How about
works
Deontay Christmas? Remember him?
No.
Temple Owl.
Come on, Alan.
Our boy Alan Style should remember him.
That's right.
Before his time.
But did they make it to the association?
Yes. Yes, he made it to the association. Yes,
all right.
Mm-hmm. He had a cup of coffee in the league.
That's right.
Yeah. Sorry, Jamal Tinsley. Yeah.
Yeah, Tinsley. I mean, that's strong. That's some of your best work there, Whitey. I'm sorry that can't work out.
That's right.
Tinsley's pretty good.
No, good
pretty
stuff, solid. Whitey.
That's
I mean,
the way
you
it
just,
goes.
No, you love this stuff, Whitey, and you're good at it, so I'll give you that. Get it.
Sounds so condescending.
No,
kind
of
like
give
you
that. Cheat, like a backwards compliment or something.
That's
like.
All Alan gives you.
No, never that. So, Whitey, when you look at the Suns and what they kind of bring to the table, even though their record doesn't show it, I mean, they got Kevin Durant, you got Devin Booker. Who do you think that the Kings will put on KD? Is it going to be Keegan Murray? Is Keegan just going to be passed back and forth between KD and Devin Booker, or what would the approach be if you were Coach Mike Brown?
Well, first of all, there's a high school game going on out here right now. That's what you heard with the horn and everything. And this team in blue, they're lucky I'm not their coach, or they'd be running laps at halftime. But, I mean, you got to get back out.
Yeah.
Transition defense, terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, you probably at some point, I know he's not starting, but Keon put him on Booker, so – yeah, I guess you'd start Keegan. Keegan's probably got to start on on book. The thing about the Suns, not to dodge your question, but they're going through a lot of the same things or similar things the Kings are going through. They're talking about, I mean, literally, Devin Booker just said, we've got to hold each other accountable. It's like, wait, where have I heard that? and they're looking for an identity. Wait, where have we heard that? So, you know, they're really struggling, and yeah, they've had the injuries, but that's a team that I'm not surprised they're struggling. I wasn't that impressed with the moves they made, given the age and how injured some of these guys tend to be. But you got two teams tonight that are kind of at a crossroads trying to figure out who exactly they are before the calendar turns to the new year.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was talking earlier, and I think that question that Alan asked kind of does stem from my, you know, I'm not quite ready to put the Phoenix Suns in the conversation of, you know, we've been talking this week about the challenges of going against the Celtics, the Suns, and then the Timberwolves, and I was, you know, just recently kind of feeling like I don't know if Phoenix really quite belongs in the same breath as those teams right now, because you do look at their record and I mean they're barely sitting above 500. They've had Bradley Beal in and out of the roster or out of the lineup, and Devin Booker, same story. I just wonder, you know, how much do we give this team maybe a little bit more respect than what they've earned because of the potential of what they could be, instead of focusing on the team that they actually are?
No, of course we do. I mean, you look at the names. You know, Devin Booker's been to the NBA Finals. We know about Kevin Durant. Bradley Beal has been to the playoffs at least before, and you have that kind of talent. With that being said, they've only played three games, I think it is, where all three of them have actually played. Brad Beal has only played in six games total, I think it is. And so I think it might even be two games when we've seen their entire big three. And, you know, we could talk about MVP conversation, and the MVP ladder came out and Kevin Durant's in the top 10. I could argue what Devin Booker is doing this season deserves. I mean, you know, I know their record isn't great. They're middle of the pack, mediocre right now. But I wouldn't want to face them if healthy in the postseason. I would be any team, whether it's Denver, Minnesota, I don't want to see Phoenix if they're healthy in the playoffs. I just don't want to see that. We know what Booker can do. We know what Durant can do. I don't want to see those guys in the postseason.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. You have so many of those teams. You have the sleeping Giants in the Western Conference. You have the active Giants in the Western Conference. And then you have the up-and-comers in the Western Conference as well. And I would put the Kings at the top of that category. Guys, the question is this finally going to be the back-to-back where the Kings get it done on the second half?
You know what? I'm going to say yes, because it would be just like the Sacramento Kings to win this back-to-back. Out of all the back-to-backs you got all season long, your most difficult one, your toughest one, you handle business. So I got faith in my guys. I'm saying yes, they get it done.
I'm not looking that far down the road. Take care of business tonight, then we'll see. By the way, the thing you guys played today with Cat and his voice, I wasn't aware of that. That is weird.
Isn't it?
I never knew he did that. That was very strange.
It's very much fitting for Carl Anthony Towns, though, at the same time, isn't it?
I mean, he did. He changed the game. He might as well change his voice.
He changed the game. It's super gangster. It's super gangster.
All right. Well, that does it for Stiles and Watkins. Thank you to Simone, Chris Watkins, Alan Stiles. You have the Drive guys up next with Whitey Gleason, Kyle Draper. Enjoy that show and enjoy your holiday weekend. We will talk to you on Wednesday. And until next time, secure the bag, light the beam.